Okay, POL. Just a little playing with ideas here. So you got our Aina finally managing to enter Shadowland. Just testing this version, because we really don't know who Aina, if she even manages to enter, because she is, how to say, discouraged. Now she's there in the other world station, whatever we call it. The Boer local place. And it's very nice there, and there are enlightened people there. Vaishnavas, they were called on earth. Devotees of God. Who actually belong to Cow Island. Some have just come here to help out, some are on their way back. And so they say, you know, it's dangerous in there. I mean, seriously, it's... And they try to explain it. And this is the problem everyone... And it happened to Oni as well. And it's difficult to explain to someone who hasn't been there. I mean, it looks like just stepping into a game or a ride or something, and wow, it's cool, fun house. But just as when you put on these VR goggles headset, you don't know how it is until you do it, and oops, this. It's very real here, and it's almost impossible to resist being pulled into it and drawn along there. So, especially this time, and now we're talking where Oni entered, it's a time when things are really happening. Unstable, we got the threat of nuclear war. Humans have not invented, but they have found this. You know, they probed into the deeper secrets of this world and released nuclear power and so on. I mean, it's a dangerous situation. They may just destroy the whole world they're in. And anyway, that's what the story describes, right? And we have done that in the first and second book. War, end of war will come third, I don't know. Maybe. So this is one option. One is that Aina enters but is protected by that jewel or whatever it was that she got from Engil's wife, whatever her name was. So she's not really sucked into it. She's more like there in that body, but not falling for the illusion. She looks at it a little bit from the outside. Now, from the earthly point of view, she's then autistic and behaves strangely. Hmm. But then we have another option, which I'm going to explore today. I mean, she is a very stubborn and, how to say, courageous lady, and she loves her man. She wants to be at his side no matter what. If it's a war, heaven or hell, that's the way she is, right? So the others are discouraging her. She speaks maybe to the wisest one, maybe Engel is there, and he said, well, you know, what can we say? Stubborn lady here. But we will help you, we'll be with you. But that's a bit of the issue here, that even though angels may be at your side, you may be so hypnotized, so drawn into, so mesmerized by that fantastic world, that you forget, that you don't notice. So be careful. And she is like, I mean, here we have a very dramatic situation. So she said, let's go for it. Well, she may also have this jewel there from Engel's wife that can help her, or something else. She is equipped. And there she is, taking birth. And somehow or other, each possible storyline here seems to start somewhere far north, you know, in these mystical regions where it is 6 months night, 6 months day, is basically, I mean, approaching that place up there. And the reason she takes birth high up is that there is more peaceful, people are calm, similar people take birth up there who are more thinking, more maybe even meditative. Yes, sometimes also primitive appearing, because you know, you've got the Samis, those kind of people up there, they live in tents. They have their herds of reindeer, drink their milk, eat their meat, but are living in respect between each other. And we show that indigenous culture, but she is just half that. And it's interesting because me the author, I know several ladies, or several female friends, at least two, but I think more, who that description would fit. So that tells me something about Aina. This is character development here, people. loosely based on existing characters, which makes it easier. So, yeah. And she may also, just the same as everyone else, be a bit overconfident. Like, come on, you know, this is just... doesn't look very dangerous. And then we follow her struggle. Because of course it gets more, how to say, challenging than it she may have thought, just as it does for Oni and the Pio boy. But she's still protected somehow, but and we now we're telling a woman's story in this Shadowland world. And I mean, I'm talking about a woman's story in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. I mean, this time and age that the author has ample experience of, knowing, having female friends who he saw getting roughly treated by this age. Because let's just put it in that 60s, you know. What happened there was that you got this free sexuality, you got this and that, and you got the boys whom Pio hung out with, his friends, the guys, for whom ladies, and they don't probably even up to today dare to admit that, just like racists don't want to, that they used to talk in terms of, you know, getting laid, going out, and try to find a... I mean, sometimes very roughly expressed even, need a cunt tonight, you know, that kind of thing. Very disrespectful, and to them the ladies were beautiful bodies. Some of them, the others, you didn't care about. And well, in a way then, if you had a beautiful body as a girl, you had it all made in that way. You got the guys. They were swarming around you. You could pick them as you liked. And of course, you could pick the rich ones, the strong ones, the successful ones, the famous ones. And that's what many did. And they became experts as being more beautiful, cooler, and so on. So that's one kind of trend that took off very strongly then in that society, and which I would say is the result of decadence, when a culture is losing the higher ethics and values and all of that, the spiritual foundation, the Dharma, and so on, then there's this slippery slope going down into just sensual pleasures, you could say. So there she is, having to grapple or deal with all that. And yes, she is beautiful. And but also she is kind of finding herself in a strange world. She doesn't feel at home there, really. School, this or that, what is it for? Just, you know, there are now these talks among the cool kids. And maybe the older guys and girls, that, you know, school is useless, and just get, you know, become a knegare, 9-to-5 worker, is that what you want? Or a housewife, is that what you want? That kind of thing. So, just as the other kids in the 60s, she gets kind of, I mean, those who are a bit independent thinking and awake, they question, of course, of this you know, the adult generation and the life on rails that they can see, that they are living in, that they are also revolting against. And that revolt, yep, the teenage revolt of that generation could sometimes become very drastical and dangerous and dramatic. There were drugs involved, alcohol involved, which in turn let loose the sexual promiscuity, and the little girls became pregnant, and I mean, these tragedies and dramas. And yes, your author saw that in girls around him as he grew up. So that's the kind of story, that's the kind of character that she falls into, so to speak. So her life doesn't just become a dance on flowers, as we say in Sweden, or peaches and cream, but full of challenges and dangers. And sometimes she seems to be completely down there, but has that in her. Maybe it's that jewel that she got from Engels' wife, that kind of is in there in the heart and going, wake up, hey. We told you, maybe some kind of communication device or something. Hey, don't do that. That's going too far. Stop it. And she does, and then goes on that way. And yes, she should also then eventually, her own way, step into that Krishna temple. In the late 70s. Oh my. This can become a real drama.